Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andrew P. Shea. Ross Tucker will be along for quarter number two and quarter number three. Before we get started, a quick reminder, Keystone Sports Network, in association with Collegiate Athletic Travel, offering the great opportunity to travel to Auburn for Penn State, Auburn, and Andy, we got a game time on it. As expected, it's going to be 3:30 and broadcast at CBS. But if you want to be there at the game, travel with your favorite team, this is the way to go. You can go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414. Get all the details, a charter flight out of Harrisburg, team hotel, transport to and from the game, tailgate party, and Dustin and I will be traveling along also. We're really looking forward to it. Hope you can join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Andy, tell you what, buddy, we're going to skip the news today. Not a whole lot going on. We're going to go right to another topic, but right after I decided to be the case, we, of course, did get a tidbit of news, which I want to throw out there and get your take on. The decision on the whiteout game has been made. It's going to be the Minnesota night game as opposed to the Ohio State game, which will most likely be at noon. So, in fact, I'm sure it is if they've already made this whiteout decision. Your thoughts, better to be night with Minnesota or noon with Ohio State?
Night with Minnesota. Why not spread the wealth around and let some other teams experience the viciousness that is the whiteout at Beaver Stadium? Let another team come in there and experience it. It's Michigan. It's, you know, Ohio State. Last year it was the Auburn game, which was cool. I just think a night game and the way that atmosphere builds, it's better. It wouldn't be the same at noon even if it was Ohio State. It just wouldn't feel the same a little bit at noon. I think the night element of the whiteout, and a 3:30 afternoon whiteout's okay, but the added element of the night game and a whiteout and it building all day, That is just a powerful element of it to me. So I'm okay with it, but I know the opponent, it's generally safe for a bigger opponent, but I think it's an advantage for Penn State either way. So use it as the night game and make it the best that it is. That's just my two cents.
I'm with you, Andy. I like it for a night game. It's very special that way. And you know, who knows? It might be good to have that kind of extra advantage against Minnesota, who has played Penn State very tough and has beaten Penn State a couple times as a surprise. So I will take that advantage. I agree with you. Look, the Ohio State game is still going to be exciting. The crowd's going to react to it because it is Ohio State, no matter what time they play. So, but I like this decision. Something special about the whiteout at night. All right, Andy, let's move on to our topic for the day, and we are going to hit this both in quarter one and when you come back in quarter number four, and that's this. I'm not sure the best way to word this, but I wanted to get your take on the players that you think are going to surprise us or they're going to step up. And I don't want, you know, the obvious names. I don't want, you know, Sean Clifford needs to step up. Yeah, we know that. I'm talking about those under-the-radar guys. The guys that you, Andy Shea, think are going to step up and have bigger years than what the typical fan might think is the case. So, for quarter number one, let's start with the offense. And who you got, Andy?
So I'm going to start with the new number 11 in your program under the position of quarterback. And it's Christian Vaiu. And I start with him because the last, you know, couple of seasons, Sean Clifford has gotten banged up and beat up. Last year, he probably should have missed maybe 4 or 5 games, right, Jimmy? That's a, probably a solid number. Maybe 3, maybe 4. I mean, the sort of like he had to play well after that debacle in Iowa was pretty clear. If he was anywhere close, they were going to play him. I'm not sure of the thought process or what it looked like inside when it came to Christian Vaiu, because when you got your sample size, it was like, why has this been kept in the cupboard? But it was for a reason that we don't know because we're not coaches. So, but whatever it is, he's going to be the number two quarterback for Penn State behind Sean. Sean has battled injuries. Good chance Sean has to battle injuries again. He's not necessarily a number two in my mind, but more 1A. And the reason I say that, I know it's a small sample size, but it struck me. It wasn't his arm talent or his zip on the ball or any of that stuff. It wasn't like the physical stuff. It was that sort of kind of that little hidden it factor of how he carried himself, how he commanded the offense in that, you know, game against Rutgers. And I know it's Rutgers and it was at home. I get it. But it's also partly how the rest of the team responded to him. And the flip side of it, there's a reason you're not hearing about the finally James Franklin got a 5-star quarterback and he's on campus and we're through spring. You're not hearing about 5-star quarterback, 5-star quarterback, you know, quarterbacks. That's because of Christian Vaiu. I think he is the underrated value. I think he's going to have to play. It would be surprising if Sean Clifford battles through a season without getting banged up and injured just because he plays the game that way. Not reckless, but he plays the game hard. And I think this guy has a very high ceiling that we don't even really know about yet.
It will be interesting to see how quick James Franklin and Mike Yurcich are with the hook on Sean Clifford if either A, he gets banged up a bit, or B, underperforms. It will be interesting to see, but I think you're right. There's no doubt it'll be Christian Vaiu who's the guy. Let me give you a name. I'm going to throw one out here. I'm going to throw out Catron Allen, the other freshman running back. We all know about Nick Singleton, but all spring we've been hearing about how polished Catron Allen is. He played in at IMG, I believe, in Florida. It was an advanced program in high school that he came in well prepared. But what convinced me was I saw much more burst in the blue-white game from him. And if the other running backs underperform the way they have the last year, I think we're going to see more of Catron Allen than most people expect. All right, Andy, who else you got on the offense?
So I'm going to jump next. I stayed away from the running backs, not because you chose Catron Allen, just because I think they have a wealth of riches, and I'm not sure what we're going to get from beginning to end with that group. I think it's going to be a work in progress, but it is a sneaky good pick. I'm going to flip and go wide receiver, and I'm going to go with Mitchell Tinsley, the transfer portal from Western Kentucky. Look, do I think Parker Washington is the clear-cut wide receiver one of this core? Absolutely, yeah. But I'm just intrigued by Tinsley. His production is one thing, right? But I also think his production last year was a byproduct of a live-arm quarterback who has fringe NFL talent and sort of an offense that was geared for him in terms of the passing game. But I like all the other sort of dirty little tricks of the trade, and I believe that he has in his arsenal, and I believe those translate very well to the next level or another level as an FBS Power 5 receiver. Look, this position, wide receiver, it's got depth. There's talent there. They're being coached extremely well. I think we agree on that. They're one of the best coached, improved individual positions over the last 3 seasons at Penn State. But I also think there's plenty of room for a second or third wheel behind Parker Washington. And I believe and I think down the stretch of the 2022 season, my instincts tell me This is a guy that is going to have a say on the productivity and efficiency and burst of this offense.
I think it's a good pick, Andy. I'm a huge Parker Washington fan. Big, big, big Parker Washington guy. With that said, I actually would not be surprised if at the end of the year, Tinsley has the bit better numbers. Now, I'm looking at the two of them as 1A and 1B, and I'm not sure which one's A and which one's B. I'm going to dig a little deeper than you into the depth chart for my next guy, Andy. I'm going to throw out tight end Tyler Warren, and I know he's behind Theo Johnson, Brenton Strange. I know that. But for him to play last year as a true freshman when you had those two guys in front of you, it was a bit surprising. It tells me that the coaching staff also really likes him. I think his presence will be felt this year. I think he's going to get more opportunities. And I think we saw the great catch that he made in the bowl game. I think he could be pretty special there at tight end. I think we're going to see more from him than what people expect. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, in terms of Penn State in the tight end position, the first year without a guy named Mike Gesicki or Pat Freiermuth playing tight end, the production dropped, right? There's no doubt about it. I think Theo Johnson has tools, but Theo Johnson hasn't flashed as much as you would have expected him to do last year. You're right. Tyler Warren flashed, right? That's what you're looking for at the tight end position. I also think there's some responsibility on Mike Yurcich to sort of figure out a little bit more of how to use the tight end a little bit better in this offense. I'm not saying I think he's a bad coach or any of that or a coordinator. I just think, and I think he knows this too, that he's got to sort of elevate that position a little bit in this offense because he's got some dudes there, right? And he's got three of them, and they're all a little bit different. But Warren's a great call because the flash factor that you sort of think you would have saw out of Theo Johnson last year, that's not where it came from. It came from Tyler Warren, not just running the ball in that Wildcat thing, but at the tight end position you saw it as well. And I'm like, that kid just screams, get me on the field.
All right, Andy, that's going to have to be it for quarter number one. And quarter number four, Andy's going to be back. We're going to talk about some defensive players that are going to step up. In the meantime, we got Ross Tucker coming in, and he's still scouting the class of 22. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. You know, a lot has changed about State College, but one thing that hasn't is W.C. Clark's Coffee Roasters on Calder Way. 30 different varieties of specialty coffee beans sourced from over 25 countries and roasted with love each morning in Happy Valley for over 45 years. We'll ship our fresh roasted coffee from our doorstep to yours. That's right, you can now order online at statecollegecoffee.com. So go to statecollegecoffee.com and use discount code KSN at checkout.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number two. That, of course, means we welcome in Ross Tucker. Ross, how you doing, sir?
Awesome, Jim. How about yourself?
I'm not sure I'm quite awesome, but I'm doing pretty well. Thank you. We're fresh off the Memorial Day holiday weekend, and, you know, we're into June, which means it's a big recruiting month. Just keep thinking Penn State football, right?
You know what? It is a big month. All the camps that they have, all of the official visits that they have, there will be a lot of Penn State football news and recruiting news in the month of June. It's usually a big one.
It is, and they have some really big weekends coming up with a lot of great recruits. But now here's your segue. That's talking class of 23. How about we go back and talk about the class of 22, Ross? We're continuing your series of scouting reports. We've got a couple of Philly kids today, so let's get right to it. Let's start with Keon Wiley, 6'2", 210-pound linebacker.
Yeah, that's I guess, the question. Right? I really enjoyed watching him. Really enjoy the way he plays. He has tremendous get-off off the snap of the ball. I mean, he's got a burst. He's got that, you know, that get-off, that take-off. It's so important. You know, and for people that are picturing this, it's basically how fast, it's initial quickness. And it's how fast your first two steps are and how much ground you can gain. It just, when you watch him, he gets off the snap faster than everybody else. Very, very important trait, especially for an edge rusher. So he's got tremendous get off the snap of the ball and initial burst. He's got excellent closing speed. And he actually has impressive long speed. You know, he picked up a fumble and ran it like 60 yards for a touchdown. I thought, wow, he's pretty really going. Now, the other things I really liked about him, really understands how to set up blockers as a pass rusher, right? Like a couple steps upfield, come back underneath. You know, act like I'm going to come underneath, back swim outside. Like he just gets it. Looks like maybe to me he's worked with somebody. Or maybe he just naturally has a good understanding for how to set up blockers as a pass rusher. He also showed good hand usage on both those inside moves and those outside moves. You know, not quite Dennis Sutton hand usage, but good hand usage. And the other thing is he had both inside and outside moves. He has good instincts. And I thought he had really impressive change of direction, right? Which is, you think something's happening one way, but then you realize it's actually going another way. Happens a lot in football. You got to stick your foot in the ground, change direction, and go back the other way. And he did a really, really nice job of that. There was one zone read in particular where he saw the running back didn't really have it, put the left foot in the ground, went the other way, and still got the quarterback. He reminds me of Shaka Toney. Same school. They both went to Imhotep Charter. Both about 6'3". Both slenderly built. I think Shaka Toney was like 190 pounds in high school. I don't know what Keon Wiley is. I think what's interesting is, you know, I don't know what position he's going to play. You know, maybe he could be an off-the-ball linebacker, but there's no snaps of him doing that. So I can't really judge him as an off-the-ball linebacker. Although, listen, a guy named Micah Parsons was an edge rusher in high school, ended up being an off-the-ball linebacker at Penn State. That worked out pretty well. So maybe Wiley you know, can become that kind of guy. It's interesting because Ken Talley, who's another Philly kid, played off the ball linebacker in high school, but he's going to end up playing D-line at Penn State. Keon Wiley plays D-line in high school, might end up being off the ball linebacker at Penn State. I don't know, though. I kind of envision him ending up being a D-end. I think he grows in. They might try him at linebacker, and maybe he's good at it, but I think he ends up being a defensive end because he's got some real natural burst, natural ability there. I think Shaka Toney is an excellent comparison for him. My question is what position, as well as size. He didn't look real big to me. They list him at 6'3", 210, probably more like 6'2", 200. So he's got a little ways to go to be, you know, to have the size to really be able to play that position effectively.
Is it just me, Ross, or does it seem like recently we're having this discussion more and more often? Gee, is he a defensive end or is he a linebacker? Or is it just my imagination?
Nope. I think we are having that discussion more and more often. I think you're right. And I think it's because, for the most part, these schools are, and I say this all the time, I say this to families, I say this to you, Jim, they are recruiting bodies. They are recruiting bodies more than they are players, right? Like, they want physical traits. They want burst, size, speed. They'll kind of figure out where these guys end up based on how they grow, how they mature in the weight room, and how they do. You know, maybe they'll give both Wiley and Talley a chance to play linebacker. Talley, I think, will probably, you know, grow out of it. Maybe Wiley shows he can play linebacker off the ball and stays there. Or maybe he keeps growing and he ends up being a defensive end as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Talley ends up, if he's really 6'2", 243, I wouldn't be surprised if Talley ends up as like a Kevin Givens type D tackle.
Wow. That's will be an interesting move. Our other recruit for this week, or commitment, Abdul Carter. He's listed, Ross, at 6'4", 235. He's also from the Philadelphia area. What did you see with Abdul? Oh, did you give me a grade for Keon Wiley?
Keon Wiley is 8.1. So okay. Keon Wiley gets an 8.1. Just because I think, you know, little questions about the position and size, but I think guys like him end up contributing. You know, guys like him end up playing.
Gotcha. All right, let's get to Abdul Carter then. 6'4", 235, Philadelphia area. Another, I guess, linebacker.
Really, really like him. Goes to LaSalle College High School. You mentioned it, Jim. Really nice size, length, and growth potential. I mean, he looks to me like he's one of the biggest guys on the field when he was out there at LaSalle College, which is big boy 6A football. I mean, they're playing Newman Goretti. They're playing St. Joe's Prep. You know, they're playing some really Malvern Prep, some big-time football. And he had impressive size, length, and growth potential. You know, the ability to get even bigger, to be a true difference-making size linebacker. I mean, he's got first-round caliber physical traits, sort of like a Brandon Smith. You know, maybe not quite Brandon Smith, but very close in terms of the physical traits. Maybe not quite as fast as Brandon Smith was, but very good closing speed. One of the things I really like about him is he arrives with bad intentions. I mean, when he's coming to tackle, he's coming to really deliver a forceful blow and really knock that dude out. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, this is big boy football, and that's how he plays. He's a good open field tackler. I thought one of the things that jumped out to me, he is excellent both as a blitzer and as a pass rusher. Two different things, okay? Blitzer is you are hitting a gap and you're trying to get to the quarterback without anybody touching you. You're just hitting a gap. And he times it up well and did that very well a number of times. Then there's also rushing the passer, which is you're lined up over an offensive lineman, maybe a tackle, maybe a guard, and you got to make a move. You got to make a move to beat that guy. So you're not going to come clean. You're going to have to beat somebody. And he showed good hand usage. He showed the ability to bend. I mean, he could really bend when he was rushing the passer and get around the corner or get inside around the offensive lineman. I thought that was impressive. You know, the one question I had about him was his instincts. I don't know if they're great. I think they're pretty good, but he wasn't instantaneous. Now, I don't know if it's instincts or preparation, but he didn't hit things as fast or as early as I would like to see him do. You know what I mean? Like, he had to wait and see things unfold a little bit, and then he went. So it might be preparation, might be instincts. He is a really good linebacker prospect. I gave him an 8.3.
Two real quick things. Do you realize, Ross, and you talk about this a lot with different players, you talk about when he gets there to make a tackle, he has bad intentions. Do you realize you get a gleam in your eye whenever you talk about a prospect that way? And the last question is, where does he end up playing?
Well, he's a linebacker. And I think he's an in-the-box linebacker. He might end up playing Mike, but I think they'll give him a shot at first at will, which is sort of the position Brandon Smith played last year, the position before that that Micah played, the position Curtis Jacobs will play this upcoming year. Really the guy that is freed up the most to make the most tackles is the way to describe it.
Very good, Ross. All right, that's it for our scouting reports for today. Stick around, quarter number three. It's time to take your questions, and we're going to ask Ross.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State-Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. You know, a lot has changed about State College, but one thing that hasn't is W.C. Clark's Coffee Roasters on Calder Way. 30 different varieties of specialty coffee beans sourced from over 25 countries and roasted with love each morning in Happy Valley for over 45 years. We'll ship our fresh roasted coffee from our doorstep to yours. That's right, you can now order online at statecollegecoffee.com. So go to statecollegecoffee.com and use discount code KSN at checkout.
Oh!
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker. It's quarter number three. That means it's time to ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and the best question wins the KSN Polo. If you want to submit a question for Ross, really easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button. All right, Ross, ready for your questions?
Absolutely, always. I love it.
All right, let's start with Bill in Dallas, who says, on the offensive line, we are basically trading Rasheed Walker, Eric Wilson, and Mike Miranda for Fashanu, Tengwall, and either Hunter Norzad or Sal Warmley. Would you make that trade?
Yeah, I think I would. I think Fashanu will step up and probably be about as good as Rasheed Walker was. I think Norzad ends up winning one of the jobs and probably ends up being comparable to Miranda, if not better. And I think Tengwall has a chance to be better than Eric Wilson was. So, yeah, I think I would make that trade. It's probably close. It's not like I don't think it's a sizable difference, but I think there's some more upside to it.
And I think it's easy to look at Rasheed Walker's potential, but he didn't realize it, or at least I didn't think he did, Ross, while there. So I would make the trade also. Let's go to Ken in Mount Holly Springs, who says, Jim and Ross, love your show. First of all, thick or thin crust? Second, will name, image, and likeness work like the NFL, with kids with the bigger NIL contract getting a longer look for that starting job? If so, what are the longer-term ramifications for collegiate athletics? Thick or thin crust, Ross?
Wow, so definitely thinner crust, okay? For me, the dough is not the star of the show. Write that down. That should be a theme for pizza places out there. The dough is not the star of the show. The star of the show is the cheese, the sauce, and the toppings, okay? The dough is more or less a conduit to the delicious flavors that reside on top of the dough, okay? It's a vehicle, if you will. You know, I know people that love like pan pizza. No, they love like that's just too much bread. And it's just no, it takes away from the topping. The thinner the crust, the more you're tasting topping. And so, yes, I like thinner crust. And that's a really interesting question. And I would say good point that he brings up regarding NIL. I think there will be some of that. I think there will be some of that pressure. So now, the way it is now, Jim, coaches are going to really need to for their boosters to step up, right? Like, money, Jim, is almost undefeated, okay? You know, I think somebody told me this one time, money and women are undefeated, all right? So, like, those are the things that help people make decisions, right? And I think college coaches are going to realize they need the money guys. They need the boosters to get these collectives and get the money for NIL. They need that if they want to get these recruits. And so they got to keep those guys happy so that the checks keep coming, so that the NIL money keeps coming, so that they can keep getting good players, so that they can keep their jobs. So I do think there will be some pressure to go ahead and, if they can, try to give the benefit of the doubt to the kids that get the big NIL deals. I think there's something there. I think there's some truth to that for sure.
Has that already happened, Ross, with the guy? Coaches will always say it's not the case, but does the kid who's already a five-star get the benefit of the doubt over the three-star kid?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly correct. I think they do give those guys a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt because they were five-star for a reason, because of all the hype they got, and really because they should have the physical ability to be able to play at a high level. So they want to give those guys every opportunity to show they can do it.
Okay, next up is Jimmy from Forest City. And a quick note, Jimmy's question came in prior to the announcement that Minnesota, which is scheduled as a night game, will be the whiteout game. And that was chosen over Ohio State, which will probably be a noon game. But Jimmy's question essentially is Penn State, well, which way would you have gone? Would you have picked Minnesota, the night game for the whiteout, or would you have picked Ohio State at noon?
Definitely, without any hesitation, the night game. What makes it special is the lights and the white. I don't know. Somebody smarter than me, Jim, some scientist or whatever can tell you what, but the combo of the beautiful Beaver Stadium lights on everybody wearing white, it looks like the brightest, it's like the brightest lights you'll ever see at night. It's like the place glows. So that was the right choice. I think the wrong choice is the Ohio State game being at noon, which is not Penn State's choice, but very, very disappointing. Because that game, that's a big competitive advantage that they're not getting now for the Ohio State game.
I agree. I would love to have seen Penn State flex its muscles and say, no, that's not going to be a noon game. It's going to be a night game. Just the same way Michigan and Ohio State, they insist that their game is last game of the season and it starts at noon. Every year it's that way because that's what the schools want. Why can't Penn State flex their muscles the same way? All right, Ross, next up is Greg in Norristown. He says, Ross, Mike Yurcich calls you later today for advice going into the 22 season. What do you tell him?
It's an interesting question. I guess I tell him a few things. Don't be afraid to make the switch at quarterback if it presents itself. You have to get more out of the running game somehow, some way. And number 10 might be a pretty good way to do that. His name's Nicholas Singleton. And I would go with a lot of two tight end sets. I would use a lot of two tight end sets. I think Strange, Johnson, and Warren are a pretty good trio, and that they should be able to get some good production out of those guys. I think Strange and Johnson can be attached and be blockers, or you can put them out wide and they end up being receivers. I think there's some value there.
Mentioning Singleton, Ross, I don't know if you saw this. Somebody put out their preseason all Big Ten team where they go like three levels deep, three or four levels deep, and they actually had Nick Singleton as third or fourth team all Big Ten, which I thought was interesting. Next up is Paul in Danville. Paul says, Ross, when you advise high schoolers on their selection of a school, what is the one thing that you tell them that might surprise fans?
Don't pick a school based on the coaches at all. Do not pick a school based on the coaches. I mean, I'll give you an example, a personal example. So, you know, I'm very close with former Penn State letterman Todd Rucci. You know, we both live in central Pennsylvania, former NFL offensive lineman. So he's a good friend of mine. Both of his boys play at Wisconsin, which is great. You know, the tight end coach is not the guy that recruited him and was a tight end coach. The offensive lineman, the younger one, Nolan, the O-line coach left to go to Virginia Tech with Pry, so it's not the O-line coach. So you absolutely cannot, should not make a decision based on who you think your position coach is going to be, because it can and often does change. I think that would probably surprise people who think, you know, way, way too many kids make the decisions based on coaches. I like this coach the best. I like this coach the best. And then the guy leaves. And what? Now what? You really should make the decision based on the school, the academics, other things that are important to you. Maybe it's location, whatever. And the other players on the team. Are you like the other players on the team, you know?
And I was just going to ask, how often do the players ignore that advice? Because you're right, it seems like every time I see a quote from a player who made a decision, either the first or second words out of his mouth are, oh, I love the position coach.
Always. Almost always, and I think it's a mistake. I mean, look, I don't think you should go somewhere if you hate the position coach, because he's going to be your coach probably for at least that year. But that should not be a deciding factor.
Well, you know, head coaches typically stick around a bit. It looks like James Franklin is going to be around for a while. You go to Alabama, you know, Nick Saban's been there so long. Dabo Sweeney's been so long. But the position coaches, it does seem like they rotate. I'm going to sneak one in here quickly. Tony from Philadelphia. Ross, I'm a traditionalist. Almost nothing gets my blood boiling more than stories about school supporters allegedly offering $8 million to an individual player. If you were NCAA commissioner, would you require all NIL money to be equally divided among players?
Absolutely not. This is a much longer conversation. I want you to ask me this again next week, Jim, because I want to talk about, I want to dive into this more.
We will talk about this next week. That's it, though, for quarter number three. Stick around, quarter number four. Andy Shea is back, and we'll name our winner. Stay tuned.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. You know, a lot has changed about State College, but one thing that hasn't is W.C. Clark's Coffee Roasters on Calder Way. 30 different varieties of specialty coffee beans sourced from over 25 countries and roasted with love each morning in Happy Valley for over 45 years. We'll ship our fresh roasted coffee from our doorstep to yours. That's right. You can now order online at statecollegecoffee.com. So go to statecollegecoffee.com and use discount code KSN at checkout.
We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, back in the house. Andrew P. Shea. Andy, before we pick up where we left off in quarter number one, we need to name our winner from the Ask Ross segment, and that is Ken from Mount Holly Springs.
Huh.
Ken did add in a bit of a food question. I'll throw it at you. Talking pizza, Andy, thin crust or thick?
Oh, my gosh. So I've lived a good portion of my life in the Northeast, and I will take thick. I know. But given the druthers, a well-done crust, thick crust, every day over a thin crust.
I know, Jimmy. We need to learn you there. We need to learn you something, but that'll be a lesson for another week. All right, Andy. In quarter number one, we talked about some under-the-radar players that we thought were going to step up this coming season. We talked offense in quarter number one. Now we're going to talk defense. And I actually think this side of the ball is more interesting because more starters were lost on defense. And a lot of ways to go here. Where do you want to start?
So I will say yes. I will start with saying you are 100% right. A lot of losses on the defensive side of the ball. But I also think we both agree that the cupboard is a lot more full than bare when it comes to the defensive side of the ball in terms of options. But the first place I'm going defensive front, and I'm going with Keziah Izzard. So he's in his second year, he was forced into a DT, you know, a defensive tackle one role when PJ Mustipher went down with a season-ending injury against Iowa. He was thrust into that role, but he performed at an extremely effective defense where you thought the loss of a marquee player, right? An NFL talent like PJ Mustipher, there's going to be a little bit of a hole or a gap there. And you think, okay, do your best, Keziah Izzard. We'll see what happens. He started seven games, and I don't think there was much of a gap or letdown. I mean, he had 21 tackles, 11 solos, 3 TFLs, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble. That is superior production for a guy thrust into a major role. And from my perspective, he's just getting started. Mustipher's coming back from injury, and that's always a sort of like wait-and-see proposition. But I think a guy like Keziah Izzard, he gives Mustipher a little bit of breathing room that they can take their time with him. PJ's an NFL prospect, so you don't want to, you know, rush him back and make him return to the field before he's ready. He is going to help what we think is a little bit of a greenhorn defense. I think this guy is going to have a bust year, and he has to be on the field, even if Mustipher's healthy. I'm not saying he plays instead of PJ. You have to find a place for him on the field because he's productive.
I'm going to stay on the defensive line, give you one, and that's Jordan Vandenberg. And let me explain to you why I bring him up, Andy.
Okay.
I am deferring to our colleague T. Frank Carr, who I have so much confidence in, and I know he loves Jordan Vandenberg. That's good enough for me. I'm taking it, T. Frank at his word. So that's my pick along the defensive line. All right, your turn.
I'm going to the secondary, Jimmy. I am skipping linebackers. I will just let you know that and say that to give you a little hint if you want to go anywhere at the linebacker position, because I am not. I am going to go to the cornerback position to start. And when you think of this defense, right, as it's, you know, constructed following all the losses, you don't see cornerback or think of cornerback as sort of like a hole or they got to find something or somebody, or you don't look at it that way. I mean, Joey Porter Jr. is an NFL prospect, and highly regarded recruit, Kalen King. He's a legit guy. He will have no trouble being a standout at this level. But I want to tell you something about Manny Diaz. He likes to run some really, what I will call, what we can call, and everyone will understand as, he likes to run exotic secondary packages as a defensive coordinator. And he's really, really, really good at it. He's really good at it. And trust me, Penn State fans, you're going to see some stuff out of the secondary that you're not used to seeing because Manny Diaz is the coordinator. And just something tells me that Johnny Dixon has a role in that secondary as somewhat of a package guy. At the very least, he's an outstanding option as a backup to have in your stable. I think he plays, and I think he plays very well, and I think he is a contributor to what Penn State does in the secondary with Manny Diaz as their defensive coordinator.
It's interesting you went Johnny Dixon. In my notes, I have Johnny Dixon / Marquise Wilson. I feel that at least one of them will have a much bigger role. They're both, they feel like the forgotten guys back there. And of the two, you know, Johnny Dixon came in as a transfer, was not highly publicized.
Correct.
So he got forgotten. The thing with Marquise Wilson, if you remember, when he first came in, he played. He played right away. Then there was this experiment where he could play both ways. He could also play wide receiver. I don't know if that was a bit of a distraction, took away. I just feel like there's more depth at wide receiver now. He probably doesn't need to be there anymore, or maybe he could focus on cornerback. So I'll go with Marquise Wilson there. But you passed on the tight ends. I'm sorry, you passed on the linebackers.
I did.
I want to hit the linebackers because I think it's really interesting what they're dealing with. They lost, I'm always calling it, three of the top four guys because I count Jesse Luketa as the fourth man.
Amen.
And they're bringing Jonathan Sutherland from safety. There's not a lot of depth there. You know, we have Kobe King or Tyler Elsden. One of the two will be the guy in the middle. But there's still room for somebody. Now, how's this for a wishy-washy answer? I think my guy to step up is a linebacker, a freshman from Philadelphia. That's where I'm going to stop, though. I'm not sure which one, Andy. Take your pick. You know, there's Keon Wiley. There's Ken Talley. There's Abdul Carter. I think there's room there, and I just feel like somebody among the true freshmen is going to step up and be a guy. I just don't know which one, Andy.
So I agree with you. I think in a linebacker four and a linebacker five role, like in terms of when you're looking at it depth chart-wise, like who you would put on the field, I think there is opportunity for true freshmen. I'm with you, Jimmy. I'm not going to name one because we don't know enough and don't get to be at practice. So, but I do 100% agree. There is legitimate, open opportunity for them to be a contributing depth linebacker. And if they contribute at a different level, there's certainly options to become, you know, one of the three linebackers that's rotated if they're playing at that level. But in terms of getting their foot in the door at the position, it's not a crowded house. So there is a tremendous opportunity right out of the gate for a freshman, true freshman linebacker from the city of Philadelphia. I do not disagree with you one bit.
And, you know, it seems like, and we talked about Abdul Carter and Keon Wiley with Ross today. They were the two guys, and he was impressed with both of them. But I still have ringing in my head our good buddy Eric Epler. I don't know if you remember this. He was high, high, high on Keon Wiley.
Yeah.
He really thought the world of him.
He is.
And that keeps resonating with me because, again, another guy I trust is Eric when talking about these players from at the high school level. So the opportunity is there. The question is, will one of them step up? I think one of them will. And, hey, I'm spreading my bet across multiple players there, Andy. So I have a better shot. All right. Who else do you have on defense who's going to step up?
Well, the other name I have for you on defense is familiar, right? But I think it's Keaton Ellis at the safety position. I just think it's his time. I've always believed his best position was at safety. I'm not saying he should have been playing safety at Penn State. That's not what I mean when I say that. What I'm saying is, having watched him, I always thought as a natural, pure talent and player, he always functioned best as a safety. I understand and know why he was a corner initially for the Nittany Lions, but I always just thought in the back of my head, he's got more natural skills as a safety. It wasn't a stretch for him to play corner at Penn State, but this spot, the safety spot, I just think suits him. He's in his second year full-time at the position. And I just want to say that I think learning, and I think you'll agree, and you learn this over time, learning a second position at this level, even though you played corner and you might have played it at high school, it's a little bit harder than we know or think. And I think he had to go through some of that. But something just tells me that if he's healthy and can stay on the field, he is a contributor at the safety position for this defense in 2022. He's a natural. And plus, don't ever forget, if he's playing safety on a regular basis for Penn State, he has already built in his tool chest the talent and the skills to be a corner. That's a wicked combination. I just say stay healthy, Keaton, and I think you are a contributor.
That's a pretty good pick there, Andy, because at safety, as I always say, it seems like there's two sources for safeties at Penn State. One of them is Lackawanna College, and the other one is the cornerback room. Now Keaton Ellis has put in the time at safety. Now, we're seeing it with Zaki Wheatley also making the move. And let's face it, and Jalen Reed is another guy who lost his redshirt last year as a true freshman at safety. So there's competition for him. Keaton Ellis, if he wants to play, is going to have to step up, right? Because there's competition there. It's a deep room.
Legit competition. Very legit competition. And I think it's a position. It is the single strongest talent and depth position on Penn State's entire football roster. I honestly believe that.
That is the case. And if Keaton Ellis is going to step up, now is his time. I think that's a good pick. Andy, good job on this. I gave you your task for today, and you did very well, sir, on both sides of the ball. That is it, though, for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
This is Jen from Collegiate Athletic Travel. We've been offering travel to the biggest Penn State games for over 50 years. This fall, we continue that tradition in partnership with Keystone Sports Network with a trip to the Penn State Auburn game. Join us for charter flight, staying at the team hotel, transportation to and from the game, and even a great tailgate party at the stadium are included. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 1-800-788-4414. See you there.
What defines the special spirit of Penn State? Why Penn State, by author Greg Woodman, looks to Happy Valley in the 1980s for answers. Featuring rare photos, original essays, and exclusive interviews with Coach Paterno, this beautiful 256-page full-color hardback edition explores the why behind We Are. It's chicken soup for the Nittany Lion's soul and makes the perfect gift for any Penn Stater in your life, including you. Order today at whypennstate.com.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. You know, a lot has changed about State College, but one thing that hasn't is W.C. Clark's coffee roasters on Calder Way. 30 different varieties of specialty coffee beans sourced from over 25 countries and roasted with love each morning in Happy Valley for over 45 years. We'll ship our fresh roasted coffee from our doorstep to yours. That's right. You can now order online at statecollegecoffee.com. So go to statecollegecoffee.com and use discount code KSN at checkout.